In the process of traveling life's highway, it's often more important to focus on the reality of the unfolding experience than on the expectation that surrounds the actual reaching of the ever-distant destination. Because if you don't have your head up and your eyes open, you can blow right through the process and end up in chop, grape, puree, or heaven forbid, all the way to liquefy. I'd like to say that sunrise in Clovis, New Mexico was a glorious thing on the fifth day of our journey, but I can't say that because I didn't see it. I also can't say we got an early start on the challenge that lay before us because, as we all know, this was day five of 6 days out, 1 day back. But for me and my good pal Tony Rico, starting strong was a lot more important than starting early. So we treated ourselves to 12 solid hours of rack, fortified our bodies with a couple hot Tex-Mex omelets, laid in a thermos full of Rojo to go, and jumped on Highway 60, heading for Amarillo at Points East. What we'd been through so far was either a purifying process or a polluting one, depending upon where one comes down on the "my body is my temple" concept. But not really feeling that berating ourselves for what some might view as self-destructive behavior, we chose to take the positive view and claim a victory in the name of relaxation. We made good time all day, which you can do when you travel light, and that afternoon found ourselves approaching the sleepy little metropolis of Shamrock in the northeast corner of the Texas Panhandle. Giant billboards proclaiming the virtues of the Irish Inn and Blarney Stone Pub had been our constant companion from about 10 miles out on in. And it seemed obvious to us that if they'd invested that much in advertising, the least we could do was respond to their plea. The place wasn't much to look at, but that hadn't stopped us before. So we swung our legs over a couple bar stools and ordered a beer. The bad news was that Shamrock, Texas, happened to be in a dry county. The good news was that $6.50 would get you a membership and two cowboy schlitz at the Blarney Stone Pub private club. We gined up. A friendly crowd of maybe a dozen citizens was on hand, getting a bit of an early start on the weekend. And as we were sitting there chatting up Lorraine, the barmaid, we made that very same observation to her. "Oh, yeah," she said as she set us up another round. "Big doings in town this weekend at the country club." "Hey, Jerry," she shouted to a pot-bellied cowboy cutting a rug with his sister. "What's that golf tournament they're having this weekend?" "Three-man scramble," came the answer from a virtual chorus of voices around the room. Seemed like everybody at the Blarney Stone was getting primed to tee 'em high and let 'em fly. "Suppose they got room for one more team?" Tony asked. Now, I didn't want to give anything away, so I just kind of caught Tony's eye in the mirror behind the bar and shot him a look just to see if he'd gone absolutely crazy. "Oh, I expect so," Lorraine said, real cheery-like. "Say, Jared," she yelled, "is Johnny Johnson out there at the club now? These here boys are wondering if they can enter the tournament." "Yeah, he's there," Jerry said as he spun his sister around and dipped her across his left knee. "Give him a call." So the call went out to Johnny Johnson, three-man scramble golf tournament chairman at the Shamrock Golf Club, who allowed us how we should come on out and get acquainted. "Tony," I said as we headed south out of town following the directions we'd been given to the SGC. "What the hell are you doing?" "Jam," he said with a slinky grin like a cat who just figured out where the mouse lived. "I'll bet you dollars to donuts I'm the best player in this town. Now, they're going to give us some absolute dog as the number three man on our team, but this course of theirs can't be anything more than a goat ranch with greens. Now, I know you think the 97 I gave you at the Petroleum Club was maybe a little newspaperish, but if you can make just a shot or two, I think we got a hell of a chance at winning all the money and having some fun in the process." Now, it ain't that I didn't have a lot of confidence in my little buddy's game, and Lord knows I'm a process kind of guy. But this was starting to remind me an awful lot of playing Wednesday night poker in college. Anytime that rich kid from Chicago, Chuck the Tuna Nipmeyer, couldn't make it for lack of transportation, we'd send a cab to pick him up. About 5% of the money he'd lose would always cover the fare, But right now, it seemed that me and Mr. Drive and a 9-iron here were starting to smell a little bit like a can of dolphin-free chicken of the sea. When we got to the club, Johnny and his pals, all smiley and such, were there to greet us. They checked us out, even bought us a beer and explained the rules. Yes, they said it was a 3-man tournament, and yes, they could probably come up with a third player for our team, though we probably shouldn't count on that guy being, shall we say, a contender for the club championship. But here was the catch. Day one was, in fact, a scramble event, meaning everybody tees off on each hole, and from there on, everybody on your team hits their ball from wherever your team's best shot lies. Saves a world of swangs for us wild fangs. But day two was stroke play, meaning they count every swing by every player on your team. Considering my game, and the help we couldn't count on from our player to be named later, I figured we'd probably be lucky to leave Shamrock with campfare. Tell you what, Tony said after all this information had been communicated, let us give you a call this evening if that's all right. We'll let you know if we're going to be there. Fine, fine, Johnny Johnson said with a smile. I just have to let old Delbert know if he needs to get his clubs out the attic. We shook hands all around and headed for the door. Jam, Tony said as we got back on the highway and hauled ass out of town. I've paid to play in some golf tournaments where I thought I maybe at least had a chance to win my money back. But I think those old boys want to pull our pants down and spank our bare behinds. After, of course, they'd first separated us from our cash. You know what I think, I said as I slid him a grin? I think what we just encountered was that vixen of spontaneity, wearing just a touch of war paint. Only this time, the war paint was green, with a capital G, and that rhymes with E, and that, my friend, stands for expectation. Which brings to mind your fifth lesson in the art of relaxation. And the lesson is this. High expectations can be counterproductive to the process of relaxing, because they bring with them an equal but opposite opportunity for disappointment. If you're trying to relax, but you keep focusing on your expectation, you run a great risk of forgetting to experience the process. And the process of getting there is what relaxation is all about. So, my friend, I'm glad you saw fit to lower your expectation back there, because I'm afraid we'd all have been very disappointed. We spent the night in a big old Holiday Inn in Elk City, Texas. Treated ourselves, if you will, to some cushy accommodations. Checked in and checked out for the night. Day five had come to an end. Once again, we didn't know what might lay ahead of us tomorrow, but we did know this. Henceforth, we'd keep our expectations low and our opportunities for revelation at perhaps an all-time high.
Join us next time for day six of 6 days out, 1 day back, a road trip.